Audacity.
Citizenship by investment programs in the Caribbean and elsewhere coming under fire from the European Union and the United States. I am Ken Richards with this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup.
You know, the reality is now that CIP programs, citizenship by investment programs in Europe, in the Caribbean and elsewhere, they are under threat.
Antiguan Prime Minister Gaston Brown says he is aware that the European Union has asked Antigua and other citizenship by investment countries in the region and elsewhere to end their CPI programs or face visa restrictions. The islands have been warned to scrap CIP or lose visa-free access to Europe. The past few weeks have seen the EU, US and others vow to put an end to CBI, not only in Europe but also in the beyond, clearly putting the Caribbean in their crosshairs, one observer following the EU and US legislative agenda on the matter says. According to international media, these threats have now become very real. Brown, speaking on Point FM in St. John's on Saturday, described the situation as a very difficult one.
The European Union would have taken legislation to its parliament a week ago, and they would have passed it, one in which they're giving countries the option to do away with their CIP programs in order to continue to have Schengen visa-free status into Europe, or to continue the program and they stop them from having visa-free access into the Schengen region. Which, you know, is a difficult situation because, you know, if you don't have access into the visa-free access into the Schengen visa-free area, then clearly it will undermine the viability of these programs because a lot of people who literally get our citizenship is also to get access, visa-free access into that region.
The Antiguan leader says the decision could create significant problems for the OECS.
Now, if these countries are successful in undermining our CIP program, then I have to tell you it's going to create significant problems for the OECS currency union countries. In the case of Antigua and Barbuda, about 10% of our revenue, you know, or maybe if I'm exaggerating, no more than probably 12-15% comes from CIP. But in some countries within the sub-region, the CIP contributes up to 50% of the annual revenue. So you can imagine the impact in those countries. So, you know, it would be a very difficult proposition. In fact, the U.S., as you know, now they have two congressmen who have decided now to go further and to pass legislation. And one of the provisions is to work in lockstep with the European Union to get them to discontinue the Schengen visa-free access into Europe.
Prime Minister Brown told Point FM that he has taken the opportunity to write to policymakers and parliamentarians in Europe, as well as the two US congressmen who are now tabling this legislation, to let them know the impact they are about to inflict on Caribbean CIP programs and their economies. There appears to be as well on the part of the EU and the US the thinking that Russian oligarchs could use the CIP program to conduct money laundering in the islands.
As far as we're concerned, our citizenship by investment programs do not represent any risk to these countries, as how they so put it. I mean, as far as we're concerned, we are now collateral damage. And I think what is also fueling this type of behavior is that they're trying to use the Russian oligarchs and suggesting that you know, these Russian oligarchs will utilize our programs to get citizenship and to, you know, get into their countries and to be involved in probably money laundering and so on. They're also suggesting, too, that even terrorists, you know, will target our countries. But there's no evidence of that.
Of concern for the Caribbean, as Brown indicated earlier, is the No Travel for Traffickers Act, which is a proposed U.S. bipartisan bill. And according to one expert, the Russian invasion of Ukraine has been used as a boogeyman to order the shutdown of every CBI. Nuri Katz, the president of Apex Capital Partners, has meanwhile been explaining that the European Parliament voted to ask the EU Commission to formulate a strategy to eventually request CIP programs be phased out. Katz, who is a CIP agent, spoke to Observer Radio on Sunday about the issue.
They haven't made that request yet officially of the CIP, of the countries. There may have been some unofficial approaches, but officially the European Union has not made the decision to make that request yet. And it seems to that decision to make the request may take quite a while. The European Commission has to come up with a strategy, and it has to go through the parliaments of the various different countries. I believe it may be coming, but it isn't here yet.
Katz says the request, although it will take a while, must be taken seriously. He says a strategy must be formulated to engage Europe on the matter.
I certainly think that the Caribbean countries should worry about it and should be formulating a strategy to engage Europe and show Europe a number of things, including the importance of the CIP to the various countries, and as well, which is what the European Union is mostly worried about, is how rigorous the due diligence is being done on all candidates who receive citizenship. I've always said, and I believe I said it in the Observer as well before, that the due diligence that Antigua and Dominica and St. Kitts and the other islands do is the best due diligence known to man. And I think that should be conveyed through by governments and other stakeholders.
The CIP agent says phasing out the program could seriously hurt the economies of the countries which offer it.
I believe that many of the economies of the Caribbean really heavily depend on the CIP funds for the governments to function. And so this will be one more industry that, whether it's Europe or the United States, has forced the Caribbean to abandon when it's being successful. And it'll be a huge, huge challenge for all the Caribbean countries.
The Jamaican government's being told that the increase in the minimum wage expected to take effect on the 1st of April is inadequate and should be higher. This report is from PBCJ.
The minimum wage needs to be increased. That's the call from opposition spokesperson on finance planning, Julian Robinson, as he gave his reply to the budget presented in Parliament by Finance Minister Nigel Clark. In February, the government announced that effective April 1, the minimum wage will move from $7,000 per 40-hour work week to $9,000. Mr. Robinson says this is far from what it needed to be.
Madam Speaker, my constituent, and to maintain her dignity, I'll call her Sharon.
Yes, sir.
She's a single mother of two working as a domestic helper. She earns $10,000 per week, which is above the new minimum wage. And she still can't make ends meet. And I want to share with you what Sharon's weekly bills are. She spends $2,000 a week on bus and taxi fare to get to and from work for herself. For her children, she gives $2,000 a week for them to get to school. She has to give another $2,000 to the children for their lunch money. She spent $1,000 for phone credit and internet. She spent $3,000 on food, $1,000 for electricity, and $2,500 for rent. Madam Speaker, that is $13,500.
The opposition spokesman says the People's National Party believes that moving the minimum wage to $12,000 will better allow Jamaicans to meet their basic needs.
The St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Minister, Dr. Timothy Harris, has commended local farmers and vendors who are reported to be contributing to the substantial progress being made in the overall advancement of the agricultural sector in the Federation. Dr. Harris on Saturday visited the Baste Public Market.
The main outlet for the receiving and trading in agricultural goods in St. Kitts, I feel comforted that we are on a path. It's a long journey yet to go, but there has been substantial progress. As I toured this stall this morning and I inquired whether the large variety of fresh produce were local or imported, and I was told that almost everything there were local.
A human trafficking sensitization campaign has been launched in Barbados. That report comes from the Government Information Service in Bridgetown.
Wednesday, March 9th was the launch of the Human Trafficking Sensitization Campaign, drawing attention to the fact that yearly thousands of men, women, and children are victimized through the unscrupulous actions of human traffickers around the world. Senior Research Officer at the Criminal Justice Research and Planning Unit, Kim Ramsey, highlighted a public survey on trafficking in persons which was conducted in 2021 by Professor Dwayne Devenish. Ms. Ramsey said the findings suggested that there was a broad-based and general lack of knowledge by many Barbadians on the topic. She added that an intense public relations campaign was being rolled out, utilizing public service announcements and school and community outreach activities, among others. Featured speaker, Attorney General Dale Marshall, closed his remarks with this to say.
While the task force has been working diligently on its implementation, this year we propose to undertake a review of our Trafficking in Persons Prevention Act with a view to strengthening some of its provisions. We hope to start working on that next month with the intention of having amendments before Parliament by summer. We also plan to review our national referral system with the intention of streamlining and strengthening operations.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today. I am Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.